Hey everyone. So we've got about a week until the start of the 2017 ADTA conference in San Antonio, Texas, and I am stoked. I also have my regular pre-conference jitters that I get every year, which is why I thought it would be great to have a conversation with my good friends and colleagues, Winnie Wong, Sarah Lannon, and Jamie Asker, about things that we're looking forward to, things that we're nervous about, and just kind of actually had some fun reminiscing on some past conference memories, like our first conferences or just recent years, some funny things that happened. And it's really just real talk about what we're hoping for, what we expect, and what we want to see coming out of this year. So there was one thing that I like to emphasize here before we get started about being able to rest and digest. I've shared before that during my first conference, by the time it was banquet, which is the big Saturday night dance, I couldn't even get up. I tried to dance, but I was so uncomfortable in my body because I had not gone to the bathroom all weekend. I know that's maybe too much information, but I couldn't enjoy the one event that I enjoy most these years. And that's really because I was not able to rest and digest. I was so nervous. I really felt tense all weekend, and I think I was just not prepared. And, I just want to emphasize the importance of allowing ourselves to rest and take a break and find respite where we can during the very, very busy and full weekend of the conference. I hope you all enjoy the conversation. If you have anything to add or just any feedback or want to talk about any of your pre-conference jitters, I'm here and available, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all.
This is Mind Your Body, a dance movement therapy perspective on the integration of our emotional, cognitive, physical, and spiritual aspects of our being into one more aware and whole existence.
I'm Jamie. I'm Winnie.
Sarah.
All right. So we are here to talk about the upcoming conference on November 2nd to November 5th. That's the American Dance Therapy Association conference in San Antonio. And we're just going to talk about any feelings we have now, kind of like in preparation for the conference, maybe any concerns we have or anything we're looking forward to, and just how we each tackle the whole weekend of events, because we each have a different style and it kind of comes out differently each year. Let's start with any concerns we have, or just like kind of like any anxieties about the conference.
I certainly have some nervousness because this year is in Texas. I definitely am a little more conscious about where I'm flying into, what could or could not happen, what will be my role, just even like getting on the plane and coming off the plane, and thinking about how do I find support while I'm there and while I'm just like walking around on the streets. And yeah, so that's really charged for me this year, knowing that, given our political climate, and then I'm flying into a non-coastal city, what does that mean for me? But I hope for the best, and hopefully I won't come into a lot of political, racial, and ethnic tension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely share those concerns with you, Winnie. And I think for me, I've been hoping that, whatever happens there, that I can seek some comfort in just the support of the community. That's something that's always a theme at conferences, but especially this year for so many of us who might have similar concerns about being in San Antonio with everything going on in the country, that we can kind of support each other through all being there together.
Yeah. hopefully. It's interesting because in the last day or two, this has come up in some of my other spaces, and I've gotten the feedback that conference is probably going to be a little smaller this year.
Really?
Given the political charge around it, and that it is not on a coast.
Yeah.
Can you explain what your concern is about not being on a coast? Because there are a lot of people who come from, like, lots of landlocked areas.
Yeah, I think in my experience in the past, there's a really big number of strongholds coming from the eastern seaboard of, like, New York City, or I know in upstate, or New Hampshire. And I think also politically that, you know, there's a different climate per state, of course, but that there's this assumption, I guess, and knowledge that a lot of differing of political views are more mid-country. So I think that makes a lot of people nervous, more just disagreeable to going there. And because it is, like, in the middle of the land or the country, it's a little bit harder to get to. And I've heard a lot of feedback of just not being interested in, like, putting oneself in that situation. So I have a little nervousness around that too, of, yes, generally we usually find support and camaraderie in the conference itself, but then if it's smaller, what does that mean?
I mean, I'm sure we're really going to feel that in the air this year.
I wonder how the conference how the atmosphere will feel because of that.
Yeah, Sarah, the atmosphere of conference because of that?
Yeah. You are definitely not the only one with those concerns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was interesting. I was asked the question of, like, did I consider not going? And I was like, no. A, because of you guys, like, each of you, because of our tradition that we've built at this point. But B, because I want to see what that would be like. This is maybe not to this degree and extreme, but on some level, I've dealt with this my whole life. And I take the stance of, like, I'm not going to let it keep me from going to conference or force me to stay away from conference. Am I, like, preparing myself and trying to gear myself up for what may happen? Yes. But at the same time, you know, I think if I fear it only and move away from it rather than lean into it, that'll be one more face, woman of color, not showing up. And
right.
I really believe in showing up in all that I do. So, you know, yeah, I have my concerns, but I'm not going to let it, like, turn me away from conference altogether. So that's just my approach and, like, what was important to me.
How would you guys respond or engage in a conversation with, let's say, there are people who are attending the conference who have different views than you, who don't understand exactly what your fears are? Do you think that the conference is a place we can kind of nurture these conversations and somehow move through it together?
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so too. I mean, being in an environment of highly attuned and empathic professionals, as we are at a dance therapy conference, you know, you hope that that's the type of environment that's conducive to having these discussions in a respectful way and to meeting each other and trying to understand each other and trying to see the world from each other's point of view, regardless of, you know, if that's political or emotional or in our professional or our personal worlds.
Yeah. And I would just add to that, like, I hope so too. And outside of the political current administration, I think to the best of all of our abilities and, like, the conference's abilities and conference goers' abilities, I feel like we do that already, because we are meeting in this body-centered, nonverbal communication. We're already finding an access point to be able to do that. And hopefully, I'm not sure, but previous years, I've gone to the meetings of groups there are multiple affinity groups in within the ADTA. So there's already like an infrastructure for some very specific support. I've gone to the like Asian affinity group meeting and the multicultural affinity group meeting. So I'm hoping that those things will still happen. And those are hopefully specific spaces where some of those concerns and conversations can come up and be held by all of us.
Yeah. So political concerns aside, is there anything else just about the conference? Other than us feeling like, you know, it's kind of in a different place, maybe a possibly an unsafe place that could change the entire energy and culture of this year's conference. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that might be the biggest thing that we come across this year that feels different. But is there anything else that you've taken from previous years that you're just generally thinking about?
Yeah, I remember my first conference ever and... like total respect and peace to her, but she's recently passed. Minnie Deal used to do this workshop at the conference that was like typically called something like Introduction to ADTA Conference. I remember that. And that, yeah, I did that my very, very first conference ever, and I found it soul holding and grounding. And it was a great way to have extra support for your first conference, because I do remember feeling overwhelmed and a little bit like, what is this? And just having that orientation and then having a space to come back to, because I think that year she had the workshop and then found a space that she could hold every day. And so if we needed to come back, we could come back and like process anything. And then it just gave me the opportunity to meet new people who were there that year. And then I saw, like, walking around during the days and then at the banquet, like, familiar faces from that very, very first workshop.
I wish I went to that.
Me too. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah,
that could have made a big difference.
One of the therapists from New Jersey, I think, is taking it over and keeping the tradition going. So that could be something to look into.
Can we go to that even if it's not our first conference? That sounds wonderful.
I don't see why not.
This year is kind of strange, though. Like, seminar starting Thursday evening. And
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? Because I'm just wondering, Thursday all the way through Sunday, that might be really difficult.
Yeah. Pretty long. I'm worried I'm going to lose steam. I feel like I tend to get overloaded at conference pretty easily, even with, you know, moments of finding time to separate and finding time to rest and digest in between seminars. But I think that usually by the last seminar or two, I'm almost overflowing with all the new information, and it'll be interesting to see if that changes and how that changes with a slightly longer or more spread out schedule.
Yeah. I know for me, I was really surprised by it and actually like scheduled my travel based on the old scheduling. So I'm going to miss like the whole Sunday because I thought it was going to end early morning Sunday. So I won't even be there for the whole weekend.
Well, I think
I'm really curious.
Go ahead.
What number conference is this for each of us?
This will be my fourth.
What?
Conference.
I didn't hear everyone.
There it was going.
This will be my fourth conference.
Fourth conference.
Fourth.
Also fourth, Jamie.
I'm not sure. I think third.
And after Chicago, was that then San Diego?
Yes.
Yeah, San Diego. And where was last year, Maryland?
Bethesda, yeah.
Yes. Oh, fourth. This is my fourth.
Yeah, this is going to be my fourth as well.
Jamie, I'm missing something.
I'm missing something.
This is my fifth or sixth conference.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Wait, didn't you go to one years ago before you even became a dance therapist?
Yes, I did.
Are you counting that? You should think yeah. that.
And what yeah, did you think of dance really, therapists yeah. at that point?
I went, my very, very first conference was when I was looking at a program at Pratt. It just happened to be in Brooklyn, New York. So someone was like, hey, this conference is just over here. Like, you might want to check it out. So I did. That was the conference that I was like, whoa, what is happening? What am I getting into? And that's when I took Winnie Diehl's intro to work conference workshop. It was a culture shock, especially, I think, the banquet night for my very, 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 very first banquet. And I definitely felt inundated and overwhelmed. But by the end of, like, the banquet and was like, whoa, everyone wants to dance just as much as I do. And it was so much fun. And, like, there was so much information that sort of propelled me forward to go for it. And then that year, I ended up winning the raffle to free registration the next year. So I was like, well, I have to go. Yeah, free registration. Yeah. So it was a lot, but I'm glad I did it. And it was a good way to sort of feel out the field before really like jumping in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That same year that you went to the Brooklyn mm-hmm. one, I had just been in my first year at Pratt. And so I didn't attend mm-hmm. the conference, but a few classmates of mine and I, we went just to the banquet, and all of our professors were there, mm-hmm. and we were like, what kind of world is this? Like, our professors are, like, now dancing and letting loose, and we're like, who are these people? And it was really, it was shocking.
Are
I agree with that.
To dance with them?
Right?
And now I think it's one of my highlights of getting to, like, run into our past professors and getting to dance with them in that
oh, yeah.
world.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially Ted.
Shout out. All right, wait, let's go back.
There's a lot of people that would agree with that.
Yes, definitely. Let's go back to something that Jamie brought up, is just absorbing all the information and the seminars and... Okay, so I have this tendency to go to every single seminar no matter what, even though I definitely can't mm-hmm. be present by the end of it. So that's kind of my procedure, even though, you know, I woke up on Sunday last year and I was thinking, maybe I'll just go to the second one, or maybe I won't go at all. And I went to both of them, and I don't regret it, but, like, how do we apply our own self-care and know when to take breaks during the whole weekend? Is it okay mm-hmm. to miss a seminar and just kind of, like, skip out here and there? How do you guys feel? Because I tend to feel guilty if I do that, but yeah. I don't want to.
I feel like I pretty much just accepted that every year I'm going to be a little bit flooded. And because I typically also go to as many seminars as possible. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you should take care of yourself, but you also don't want to miss out on anything. So it's a really fine line to try to figure out. And mm-hmm. I find even when I do take self-care and, like, maybe skip a seminar or do something to recuperate a little bit, just in general, I'm always tired by the end of the weekend, because it's just so much information to process. It's so much stimulation. You know, and in a good way, not in a bad way, in a good way, but it's a lot. And I think it takes a while for the body to, and the mind to process all of it.
Oh, go ahead, Winnie. I was going to say, I think I was doing that. I think you guys witnessed me for the first time last year, being, like, much more resistant and rebellious to the structure of conference. And I just ducked out whenever I felt like I needed to. And we'll see if this year is the same or not. I just felt like because I had gone so many years in a row, things felt so redundant. And, like, I was looking for much more specific information and wasn't finding what I was hoping for. Also, last year I was going back to one of my, close to my hometown, so that maybe was a big part of it. But I just gave myself permission to just take breaks whenever I needed to. And Jamie, you said it earlier, like, to rest and digest, or maybe just to, like, just rest
and like pause for a little while, because it's definitely necessary. And I think a lot of times too, we probably get overstimulated and possibly like re-triggered inside of the workshops. And we have to take care of that. So yeah, I think it's just knowing yourself and being really, really present with your own self and checking in all the time and being able to recognize when and communicate to other people when you need to take a break. Or I think they try to discourage from this, but I've left workshops to go to different ones because I was just clear that like this was not what I was looking for. But you know, I think you just do what you need to do.
Yeah, I mean, I could see why they discourage that, but at the same time, I totally respect and admire that you were able to do that, because I've definitely, and this is, you know, not anything bad about any presenter, but I've definitely been in mm-hmm. conferences where I was like, I don't know if I need this right now. Like, I feel like yeah. I might need something mm-hmm. else right now, but I stuck through the, like, 2 hours longer. when I just could have gotten up and gone somewhere else. And so I think, you know, I don't want to like encourage yeah. anything that the ADTA is discouraging, but I also think we spend a lot of money on the conference and it's our yeah. education and our time. And like, I think that's great. If you need to do that, then do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think that the way I respond to the conference changes every year. Like, I'll notice that some years I find I have a lot more stamina and I can just keep going from seminar to seminar and feel like, you know, I'm still able to absorb and take in. And other years I might feel like I need to take a lot more breaks, or I need to, you know, have a book that I'm reading for fun on the side that I can escape to every now and then in between to find a little bit of space. And, you know, it's interesting. I think it has to do with the content of the seminars that I'm going to, the relevance to my daily work, the experientials within a workshop that might cause me to, you know, have some emotional experiences that I might want to have some recovery time from at the end. And it's hard sometimes to go right from a really deep exploration into another seminar on something completely different. So mm-hmm. All of those things play into, you know, whether or not I run in a marathon of conference seminars or I take it nice and slow and steady and give myself a little more space to get something here or there if I feel like that's just not what my body needs and I'm not going to benefit from forcing myself to yeah. sit through a few hours.
Right. Yeah. And then there's also the choice of how you participate in each seminar. So there's a huge range of people, from people sitting on the side and just watching, or people being more involved in movement, people being extremely immersed in the movement. So there's all these types of ways, which we tell our own patients that there's all these different types of ways to participate in our own groups. And I think it's important for people to take that into consideration too, that there's not one right way to be involved.
Yeah, that's a great point. Mm-hmm. I think I tend to forget that when I go to conference seminars. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm here, so I have to be all in to every single one.
Right.
Maybe that's why I get depleted so easily.
Yeah. Like, oh, what does it mean that I don't want to move, or that I'm not moving, and I'm going to force myself to move in here because everyone else is. It's hard because there's so many different energies. There's people who are just so excited and they have that huge stamina that I feel like I never do. So, you know, you have a directive to turn to the person to the side of you and they're extremely excited and you're like, oh no. I'm not as excited as you.
This poor person got stuck with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it's the flip side. You're really excited and you're just feeling like, I'm not sure I trust, you know, that I can work with this person right now. It yeah. definitely brings you yeah. out of your comfort zone, all these things.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
There's definitely a balance between being open and then knowing when to just, like, take care of yourself.
Right.
I always find going to find time to go to the pool is helpful.
Yes.
If there's a hotel pool.
Which there should be this year. There's going to be a pool, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And I think it'll be warm enough. I think one of the things that I enjoy the most, I mean, San Diego is great. We got to tour mm-hmm. around, and think we all collectively skipped to the last seminar and went to the pool instead. So it definitely depends on location, too.
Yeah, and I think something we've all done really beautifully is, like, we found our subgroup, and you're pretty committed, or at least the last few years, we've been pretty committed of going to meet each other there and arranging together.
Yeah.
And support. And so in the, like, meal breaks and the preparation or the post-seminar times, the four of us are able to come together and do some processing and just sort of like each share our own experience. And I think finding your own subgroup is really important too.
That's a good point. And then you also get information from seminars that you wanted to go to but had to pick a different one because they were at the same time.
That's true.
Yes. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say there's a huge difference in how I attend conferences. From the first year, well, of course, I mean, it was my first year, but I also didn't have a subgroup to the next years where, like, I just feel so much more held by you guys. And I know that we have that private room that we're going back to, or that Airbnb that we're going back to, where we can vent and reach out to each other for the support that we need, or just laugh and be silly and just kind of, like, let loose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do the conference without you guys.
Sarah, which was your first conference?
The Chicago one.
Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah. I was going to say, it reminds me, or read of what you said one time before about, I think it was the other podcast about, like, finding other hobbies and interests and, like, other life roles outside of BMT. And when you were talking about, like, the experience we kind of co-create on our own, kind of reminded me of that, of, like, because then we have our little hub of, like, comfort and support and release outside of the conference that we get to go to, and we know we have that to fall back on. So we're, like, creating our own little world outside of conference world. And just change of experience and change of role and change of, like, energy level. So,
right.
I think that's part of what really helped.
As opposed to, like, just being the professional who attends the conference and talks professionally and networks and...
all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I think in that, yeah, I would advise people to just call who you need to call to get to that space if you don't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Winnie said in the beginning, go to a meeting where you can switch roles more.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about my first conference, and it was so much more solitary and isolative for me. And now, like, because the four of us have created such a, like, safe and comforting and supportive community amongst ourselves, that motivates me to go to conference every year, even if I'm resistant to the workshops. Like, just being able to be there with you guys is a strong pull for me.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Me too. We are lucky, though.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, try to convince your classmates to come, or whoever's listening. I feel like some people have brought their significant others. I mean, I don't know for what reason, but... I don't know if that would help somebody, but
yeah,
I'm sure you can get creative.
Yeah, I think what's been happening differently the past one or two years too is now there's the selling of a banquet only ticket, and so there's the option for, you know, a significant other or partner to come into the city that it's happening in, but then only come for the dinner and banquet part. So I think that sort of creates a whole different dynamic for going to conference.
I would imagine, I mean, I'm so grateful that, you know, we've created this subgroup to find a little bit of respite in between those moments of being on and being professional, that we can kind of sink into a more relaxed space at points. I wonder if, you know, having a significant other there or someone who didn't have a subgroup would be a similar type of scenario where you could find a place to rest and recharge and turn off the battery for a few moments.
Yeah, that would probably be my what I would do if I didn't have you all. Because I don't know if I could do it alone again. I mean, maybe I could, but that was hard.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you all are coming. That we're all going together.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. I'm just trying to remember building in the fun. Like
be spontaneous, skip out on a seminar and go, you know, take an Uber to the Riverwalk or whatever. Go get some froyo. I don't know.
I remember 2 years ago in San Diego, on the last Saturday seminar, there was I decided to skip out on that Saturday afternoon seminar. I can't remember what it was at this point, but I was completely just flooded with information. I was like, okay, I'm going to sit by the pool, Winnie style. I'm going to go sit by the pool, go in the water and relax. And I think I got out to the pool and there were tens of twenties of how many dance therapists who clearly got the same idea sitting by the pool. And I just remember feeling so comforted that I had felt so guilty about skipping out on the seminar, and then I got out to the pool and it was completely packed with dance therapists. I don't know if there was anyone at that hotel pool that was not a dance therapist that afternoon.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I remember that afternoon more than I remember half the seminars that I went to be honest. So you knew there were some great seminars that year. Yeah. I remember a lot of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this conversation is not a reflection of the seminars. Probably just a reflection of, a reflection of how hard we work all year and, you know, God, we need a break.
Yeah. Jamie, that memory is reminding me of last year when at the end of one of the seminar time slots, the three of you came back to our Airbnb just sitting in the back patio in the backyard.
Yep. I remember that.
And we had gotten a burger and fries.
I was pretty jealous.
Yeah, that looked really great.
I'm going to set an intention to be as honest with myself and match my actions with my feelings and my thoughts as much as honestly as I can. So that's going to be my intention this year.
I like that intention.
Thank you. Yeah. And you guys can hold me to it.
Yeah, okay. I think right now, at least, I will set an intention of if I'm feeling resistant to conference again, trying to tap into that and figure out, or at least sit with it and figure out what's going on for me that I'm more resistant than usual.
Nice. Anyone else want to set an intention?
I don't know. I'm pretty inspired by both of yours.
I concur with what you guys said.
I like this idea of setting an intention for conference. And if we feel inspired to do so, to each year set one if we want to and see if it's changed or is the same or different or slightly shifted or, how it's shifting year to year.
Yeah, I like that too.
I tend to manage a lot of insecurity at conferences and have to remind myself that I'm still very new at this and there are so many inspiring people at conferences that sometimes it's easy for me to get overwhelmed and think God, how could I ever get to a place like that? How could I ever be so knowledgeable about a certain thing in my field that I could present in that vein and with that quality and caliber of knowledge and empathy and just finesse. And sometimes I get caught up in that. And so I think it would be really interesting. It's hard to express that and to feel no, you're where you should be and you're going to conference and there are a million of other people there who are also where they should be. And that's fine. It's easy for me to say that, but then it's hard to express it sometimes. So it would be interesting for me to hear from people in all different stages of their careers and what conference is like for them.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
How do they see themselves fitting into the community?
Mm-hmm.
How do they experience their identities as dance movement therapists when they're in the presence of all of those other dance movement therapists?
Yeah,
those are good questions.
Interesting.
am I doing enough? Do I know enough? Am I paying enough attention and going to enough seminars and participating enough in each seminar? Like, the main question is, like, am I enough when I'm around all of these amazing and inspiring dance therapists, and all of a sudden I'm not the only one representing my field. I'm here with everybody who's, like, so impressive and so amazing and so inspiring. And
these are great, great questions. I'm seriously considering this now. Shall we add anything else?
See you in a couple weeks.
Yes, we will. All right, everyone. I wonder if any of this conversation resonated with you or helped you, or there's anything you'd like to add. Again, I'm here, I'm available, and you can find my contact information on www.mindyourbodydmt.com, and I'll see you soon.